proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We continue with our series about Elisha, the plowman prophet, noting how he anointed Hazael and Jehu to be king. His predecessor Elijah had received a multi-part commission from God, one that's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19. God told Elijah to, quote, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphath of Abimeholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in Nairum, unquote. Elijah actually accomplished only the final part of that directive, namely selecting Elisha to be his successor. It was up to Elisha to fulfill the first two sections of that mandate. After hearing that Elisha had come to the city of Damascus, King Ben-Hadad of Syria dispatched a man named Hazael to the prophet. Hazael asked whether the king would recover from his current illness. Elisha gave him a paradoxical answer. Quote, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord hath showed me that he will surely die. Unquote. The prophet then shed tears as he looked intently at Hazael. When the Syrian emissary asked him why he wept, Elisha replied that he foresaw the atrocities that Hazael would perpetrate upon the Jewish people. Hazael denied that he had any such evil intents. But as soon as he returned to Syria, Hazael killed Ben-Hadad and thus ascended to the throne of Syria. Hazael would prove a thorn in the flesh to the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Under his leadership, Syrian armies defeated the forces of Israel at Ramoth-Gilead, wounding King Jehoram of Israel. Hazael also besieged Jerusalem, and King Jehoash of Judah bought him off with treasures taken from the temple. Now, Elisha did not personally anoint Jehu as king of Israel. He did, however, delegate that task to one of the sons of the prophets. That individual found Jehu, along with other Jewish commanders, at Ramoth-Gilead. He took Jehu aside, anointed him with oil, and told him that God had chosen him to be Israel's ruler. Upon Jehu's return, he informed his fellow officers of what had transpired. Immediately they proclaimed him as king. Similar events happened in the later stages of the Roman Empire, when troops stationed in different regions of that empire each endorsed their commanders to be emperor. Note that neither Hazael nor Jehu had godly characters. Hazael, for example, murdered his predecessor. As for Jehu, in 2 Kings chapter 10, the writer of that passage observed that, quote, Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, unquote. God also employed wicked nations as agents for advancing his plans. For instance, he alluded to the Assyrians as, quote, the rod of my anger, unquote, a passage which occurs in the 10th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. God chastised the kingdom of Judah through the Chaldeans, who, in Habakkuk chapter 1, God referred to as, quote, that bitter and hasty nation, unquote. God employed Hazael and Jehu as his instruments. He raised up the former king as a chastisement upon the kingdom of Judah. He elevated Jehu to the throne so that Jehu could destroy the house of Ahab. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.